Fall Shirova Rash Kijin Shkeltihis. Welcome back again to The Stories Beneath. And my name is Margaret McKenna. I'm a visual artist, a visual storyteller, because I believe that every image has a story and every story has an image. Well, today I'm a little bit late again. It's Friday. And I think I did it last Friday as well. Yes, I did St. Patrick's Day. So I'm doing a Friday again. I know I was doing it, say, Tuesday mostly, but the podcast is a bit late this week because I've just had a bit of a mad week, to be honest, and I haven't really had a chance to do anything in terms of podcasting or any such thing. So I'm just catching up now. But I've been thinking about this one for a while because I've been connected to a place in a school, and I'll talk about in a second where I got the idea for doing this podcast about this place. So, of course, as you know, this podcast series is all about our place names, our Irish place names, and how over the century they've been distorted, often translated from into English at their best, but even worse, they've been written down in a kind of like pidgin English, pidgin Irish. It's neither Irish nor English. It's just a makey up language, really. That is sort of, I suppose, back in the 19th century when the surveyors came over from England, trying to understand our Irish names, having a clue what they were about. So let's write it down in a way that English people or English speaking ear would understand or be able to read them. So they wrote them down in a fashion that was neither English nor Irish, and actually doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And if you hear a noise in the background, that's my dog scratching the floor. Ready, stop. He's human. He's looking at me now with an odd look on his face. Anyway, yes, well, I'm going across the border again today to Gunde Arden, Gunde Armacha, which is County Armagh. And I spoke about that in a previous episode. But there's a particular place in County Armagh, and it's a very well known mountain called Sliabh Gullion. Now, that's the English version of it, Sliabh Gullion. So the reason I actually am interested in it is because I've been working in a Gael school, which is an Irish-speaking school in County Monaghan, County Minichán. And there's a story connected to Sliabh Gullion that has connection with Carrick Macross in County Monaghan. So that was where I kind of got this idea for it. So we'll be doing an art project, basically actually all about the place names they live in, actually, which is quite interesting. And the kids are really enjoying it, doing artwork associated with the legends. So Sliabh Gullion, well, it's a very, very spectacular mountain. It's a well-known hiking spot, and it affords amazing views over the countryside. Well, I actually have to admit, I've only seen them in photographs because I haven't been up there yet. But it's one of the places on my list of places to go to, because there is not only just is it associated with so many legends and so many beautiful views from the summit, it's also a place of two burial cairns there from very ancient times. The mountain itself is about 573 meters high, about 1,900 feet high as well, so in feet. And it was part of an ancient, look at that dog, sorry, you can't see it, he's tearing away a piece of paper. Oh, Freddy, please. There must have been something in it. God knows what he found on the floor. I don't know what he's eating now. Anyway, sorry for that interruption. It was actually the remainder of an ancient volcanic complex, which is long, long, long extinct, thankfully. But on top of the mountain itself, there are two burial cairns. One is a large passage grave, and it is... dates from Neolithic times. So when you say Neolithic times, you're talking in and around 5,000 years ago, give or take a couple of hundred years, if you know what I mean. And interestingly enough, it is actually visible from many of the other sites around that whole area of Ireland, as Sliabh Gullion is. And it's amazing because it's like these ancient peoples back 5,000 years ago, they built these places in a line of sight to each other. So that you could be, you know, quite some distance across country. And you're thinking of Ireland back then as a heavily wooded country, like really heavily forested. Not the kind of, you know, we're not now. Unfortunately, Ireland is very, very devoid of forests. In fact, it's one of the least forested countries in Europe, which is a shame. But at that time it would have been almost impassable in many places. It was a country filled with oaks and yews and ash and holly, ancient trees. Not so much of the conifers. There were some conifers too, but not like the Sitka spruce, which is now the commercial trees that we grow now, which unfortunately isn't really very good for the wildlife and biodiversity at all. So it'd be a long road before we get our proper native woodlands up and running again. So anyway, if you think about it, these burial cairns were often built on mountains in line of sight where they could be seen across the country, often associated with ancient festivals in many times, or ancient times of the year in terms of calendar sites, because the cairn up here, the main cairn, is actually aligned with the winter solstice, just like Newgrange, Brunabona and County Meath, the much more famous cairn there, to which tourists flock every year. So therefore you can see that these people had an eye on the sky. Basically they were watching the cosmic bodies, they were looking at the universe and seeing how the sun and the moon moved across the sky. They knew how the days were shorter at certain time and longer at certain times, and they built these big places as, not only they were people off buried in them many a time, but they were more than tombs. They were far more than tombs. They were places that the people obviously came to for whatever ritual, we don't know, but they were definitely aligned to certain times. And this one, as I say, like Newgrange, is aligned to the winter solstice. In this first tomb, there was found bone flints, there were barbed arrowheads as well. And also, there is another cairn there, which is a little bit later, and it would be the Bronze Age time. So we're talking two ancient sites on this mountain. And now we come to the name. So the name, because after all that's what the series originally is meant to be about, and that is the names and how they've been changed and distorted over the years to mean nothing at all. So here we go. So it's Slieve Gullion. So Slieve Gullion in English is spelled S-L-I-E-V-E, Slieve Gullion, G-U-L-L-I-O-N, and it means nothing, absolutely nothing. However, there are two versions of the Irish one. There is Slieve Gullion or Slieve Chullin. And one is a sort of a botanical version, I would call it. Another one is a mythological version. And Slieve Gullion is L-I-A-B-H, which is the Irish word for mountain. And Gullion, well, it comes from the word Quillin, C-U-I-L-L-I-N-N, and it is holly. So in the botanical version, it is the mountain of the holly trees. And of course, holly is very much an ancient plant here. It grows wild in the forests and, you know, everywhere. And we've got a nice big holly tree in our own garden, actually, in the corner. And so it grows very well here. So it's obviously the mountain was covered in holly trees. So that's one version of the name. The other version of the name is Slieve Chullin. And Slieve Chullin is the mountain of Chullin. And of course, that means the name, Chullin. So who was Chullin? And this is where the legends start off with the mythology. And of course, if you listen to the name Chullin, there is a major, major, major Irish mythological hero called Cú Chullin. So you're kind of getting, okay, so Cú Chullin, Cú Chullin. And of course, Cú Chullin was, he stars as were in the Tán Bó Cúilne, the cattle raid of Cooley. That's probably his most famous, I suppose, place in Irish mythology, really. It's a very long, epic tale of how Queen Maeve crossed the country to obtain the brown bull of Cooley. And of course, the only person to come against her army was the young warrior, Cú Chullin. But of course, Cú Chullin, the story connected to this hill, of course, or this mountain, is Chullin himself. So who was Chullin? Well, you see, Cú Chullin, our hero, was not born Cú Chullin. He was born Setanta. Setanta was his actual name. But one, he was a great hurling. Now, hurling, for any of you who are listening from abroad, hurling, or Imaniacht in Irish, is one of our main national games in Ireland, played with a stick with a kind of a a flat end on it, like a really fat hockey stick at the end, except that it's a wild game. It's one of the fastest field games. I think it is the fastest field game in the world, as far as I know. The stick certainly, and it's way different than hockey, because you can bring the ball, or the schlitter, which is the ball, and the come on is the stick, and you can bring that up over your head, unlike in hockey, and it's pretty ruthless game too. So anyway, if you're listening from abroad, take a look on Google it, and you'll see some examples of it. So it's a very ancient game. I mean, all our mythological heroes, they all played hurling. So he was a great hurling player, and one day the king, Conor MacNeasa, he was on his way to a feast in Cullen's house. So I'm assuming Cullen must have lived near Sliabh Cullen. That's the mountain of Cullen, so he must have been on his nearby. And he was on his way, and he saw these young lads playing hurling, and he was really impressed by Satanta's playing, and he said, you know, would you like to come to a feast with me to Cullen's house? And of course, well, Satanta, young guy, said, yeah, of course I would, naturally, I mean, the king is asking me to come to a feast. So he went along. So anyway, the problem was that Cullen had a hound, and I see, back in those days, Ireland was one of the most was a country not only filled with the dense forest, like I mentioned, it was also, the forests were filled with rather dangerous animals, like the wild boar, extinct from Ireland now, and the wolf, also extinct from Ireland. And the wolf in Irish, interesting enough, there's a couple of names to a wolf in Ireland, and I always like the one Machtira. Machtira means the son of the land. And that was the name of the wolf, one of the names for a wolf in Ireland, son of the land. And the Machtira were the dangerous, and they obviously hunted. So I mean, anybody who had cattle or sheep or anything, that they needed something to protect their wolves. So of course, that's where the Irish wolfhound was born, and that's the famous Irish wolfhound, a very well known breed, a massive. I think it's actually the tallest breed of dog in the world, as far as I know, the Irish wolfhound, and Cú Chuaill, the Irish wolfhound, and it was it would have been guarding. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to have to take a wee break from here just to close the door, because my dog, my madre, is after going outside, and there's a breeze coming in here. So hang on a minute. In or out, because it's raining out there, so he'll be wanting to come in, because he's an old dog now, but he's obviously getting bored of being in with me. Okay, so the Cú Chuaill, the Irish wolfhound, was guarding Cullen's land. So of course, the problem was that he went and attacked the young Satanta, and he was vicious. He was very vicious, because he didn't know Satanta. So Satanta got his come on, his schlitter, his stick, and the ball, hurling stick and ball, and he whacked it in the direction of the dog, and it stuck down his throat and killed him immediately. But of course, Satanta was really sorry, because, you know, Satanta didn't want to do that. He literally was self-defense, and he felt so overwhelmed, because this dog was very, very valuable to his owner, and he didn't want to kill the dog anyway, but it was just literally he had to at the moment, at least disable the dog, but he actually killed the dog. So he decided that he would then, because he felt so sorry, he said to Cullen, look, from now on, I'll be your hound. I'll protect you. So he became Cú Chuaill, Cú, the Hound of Chuaill, Cú Chuaill. And so that is where the second name comes from, for this mountain, the Mountain of Chuaill. So as I say, when you're hiking over these hills and in Ireland, it's so interesting. Either version is interesting to hear, that it was the Mountain of the Holly Trees or the Mountain of Chuaill. But of course, there's lots more people involved in the Mountain of Chuaill. And we're going to talk about another Irish hero. And this time it is Fionn Mac Cuaill. And of course, Fionn Mac Cuaill was the famous, famous hero of the Fianna, the leader of the Fianna, the famous warrior. It was often considered to be a giant. He was also associated with in Scotland as well, the stories about him in Scotland. So we have lots of these of our Irish mythological heroes. They jump backwards and forwards from Scotland to Ireland, and often the Isle of Man as well. And there's a story associating him with the mountain. And this is where the place I was in today comes in, or was in the last couple of weeks. Oh, hang on, I have to let the dog in now. Sorry about this, but it's lashing out there. I better call him in. Sorry. Freddy. No, he's not. This is the trouble about doing a podcast on the spot, but I'm not going to edit it because, you know, it's natural. I have to look out. He's obviously getting wet then. It is absolutely pouring rain out there. So sorry about this interruption, but you're looking. I prefer that than trying to edit out every few minutes. It's just, you know, a little chat about things, real time. Okay, so where was I? Oh, yes. Fionn McCool and. Oh, yeah, and the Fianna. So Fionn McCool is, oh yes, there's another character we're going to talk about now in a second. And that is the Cailleach. And it's Fionn McCool and the Cailleach. Now, I'm not going to go in too much into the Cailleach right now because she deserves an episode for herself. And because there's so many places associated with the Cailleach in Ireland. But there's two places up on the hill of Sligullion. One being the Cailleach's, the Cailleach Vera's house, which is the cairn itself. And the Cailleach's loch. The lake of the Cailleach. So the Cailleach is one of the ancient sovereignty deities of Ireland. She's considered to be probably the oldest deity, a land builder, a creator. So we leave it at that. But the Cailleach, she's a crone, the hag. Cailleach in Ireland is the Irish, the veiled one, which is a kind of associated with the hag, the witch, the crone, and in this case, the goddess. The crone goddess. So I'll talk a bit more, say, about her in another episode. But the reason I'm talking about her here is because she's associated with a particular story and Fionn McCool. The place I was in today, I was about to say earlier on, it's an O'Gael school, an Irish school, and in, I better let this dog in. I'm sorry, it's absolutely important. And the silly dog went off, so I better get it in. Now, here he is, he's in now, nice and wet. I hope you don't mind all these interruptions, but he's not going out in that now. He won't want to go out in that. He was sorry now he went out, say. So I'm really sorry. Here we go. Cailleach. So the Cailleach was this ancient goddess. And not only is she associated with Monaghan or with Sligullion, she's associated with Meath, with Kerry, with Scotland, with the Isle of Man, and that'll be an episode on its own. But the place I was in today is Carrick Macross in County Monaghan. And it's a Gael school, an Irish-speaking school. And as an artist, I've been there working with the children. And they're doing artwork associated actually with our place names in the area, which is quite interesting, something like I'm doing here. And they were doing lots of artwork associated with Fionn McCool today and the stories around their neighbour, of all the stories in their neighbourhood. But there is one to do with Fionn McCool, that he actually took a lump of rock out of Sligullion and he threw it across the country and it landed. Well, seven stories about him actually thrown, like there's a few of them, but this one I'm not going to do the other. This one is the little, it's a much smaller one. He threw a rock and it landed in the middle of County Monaghan near Carrick Macross, and so that's where, and that is a big lump out of Sligullion, which corresponds to where he took the rock up and threw it across the country. But of course, there's another story, there's a couple little stories about him. There's one story that he actually was chasing a deer, because a lot of them, they did hunt in those days, a lot of hunting stories. The Fianna were always hunting. Well, of course, in those days, that's how people, they were meat eaters. They, whether you like it or not, that's what they did. They hunted their prey, and he chased the deer across the country, and it jumped into this lake on top of Sligullion and turned immediately into the Cailleach and an old woman, because the Cailleach would have manifested as an old woman. So there's another story whereby Fionn McCool was on Sligullion, and there was a girl crying there. There was two sisters. There was Mallorca and Áine, and Mallorca was really keen to get her hands on Fionn McCool. And she had a sister, say Áine. Now Áine would not marry or have anything to do with a grey-haired man for some reason. So she's very fussy. So Fionn McCool, one day Fionn McCool came along and he went to rescue a ring of hers that had fallen into the water. And of course he didn't know that Mallorca had ruined the water, because she wanted Fionn McCool for herself. So she put a magic spell on the water so that when he went into the water, he came out an old man. And of course, with a grey head on him, he wouldn't be looked at by Áine. even if he was trying to do a good deed. But of course, Fianna found out pretty quick that this is Malurk was doing. And of course, they kind of got around to her and said, look, come on now, turn him back into a young man again. So she did, but unfortunately the grey hair stayed. And it is said that that's actually where he got his name, because Fionn is fair. Sometimes they say that that he actually was fair hair, but in actual fact it's often said that this was actually grey hair, like Fionn as in white fair hair, that he rather than blonde. So there's different versions, I'm sure. We have all these stories of different versions as to why he's called Fionn. But that's what the name Fionn means. If anybody of you is called Fionn, it means fair. Not a grey now, but fair. But in his case, it might relate to the fact that he'd got grey, white hair from then on. So, but it turned out that Malurka was not really Malurka at all, but she was the Cailleach in disguise. And that is the relationship of Fionn and the Cailleach on Sliabh Gullion. And of course, it's also said that he was when the Fianna actually they tried to force her to do it, she really just didn't want to do it. But of course, she often the other guise of the Cailleach was that she would turn into a hare. So there's different little versions that the Cailleach could turn herself into. She could shape shift when she wanted. Generally, she was an old woman. So that's really the story of Fionn MacCool and Sliabh Gullion. There's the two stories, the fact that he had that he threw the rock from Sliabh Gullion and that he went into the lake. Now that lake itself is sometimes there's two, they say that people actually used to go there to prevent themselves getting grey hair. They would bathe in it. And then there are other people who are afraid to actually bathe in the lake because they will actually get grey hair. So it's kind of it's a bit like the thing about the black cat. You know the way you hear sometimes a black cat runs across the road in front of you and it's bad luck in some place, it runs across the road in other cultures and it's good luck. And I can never remember which one is which, because I know some versions it's this side of the Atlantic or that side of the Atlantic. I used to see it in some cartoons or something and you'd say, oh, it's bad luck. And I can never remember which one is which. Anyway, I've often had it's more bad luck for the cat if you're in a car, because geez, it nearly knocked them over sometimes on the country roads. Yeah, how many times they've had you have to put on the brakes fairly fast to not run over a black cat or any cat, because they run out of the ditch quite fast. So anyway, so that's really the stories for today. A little bit about Sliabh Gullion, whichever one you like to take. The story or the Mountain of the Holly or the Mountain of Gullion. But either way, it's a very, very, very ancient place filled with archaeology. So whether you're into the mythology or the archaeology, or indeed just the beauty of the place and the landscape and just the walks, the hiking, it's just well worth going up there. And that's saying that from somebody who hasn't gone, but has heard it from other people. But hopefully I will get there. And when I do, I hope to put this up on my website, margaretmckenna.ie. I have a lot of my artwork there, all associated with our Celtic past and our Celtic stories and our pre-Celtic stories even. And of course, my blog, what places I go to. And I will be putting this series up. I just haven't quite got there yet, but I will. And so that's it for today. And I'm sorry about all the interruptions to do with the weather and my dog. You can hear the weather there if you listen carefully. Maybe you can hear that rain just pouring down on a very dark, dark March evening. And I mean dark as in dull, even though it is getting darkish now anyway. Okay, so thank you very much. Welcome back again on the next time, and I hope you join me again the next time. And Gura Mila Mahagut, or even a Guiv. You know, I've been talking Irish all morning with the kids, and my brain has gone into panic attack. So it's like my Irish is coming out in all mad ways. Anyway, I'm getting back to doing my Irish lessons once a week, and I'm really enjoying it. But I've been a little bit rusty this week, or mergach, rusty. Tama hunger mergach anish. It's a bit rusty because I wasn't actually doing it this week very much. And but I do love it. Anyway, gura mila mahagat, Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next time with something else. And if you have any ideas, you can get in touch with me on my email on margaret@celticmyths.ie. So if you have any ideas you'd like to share with me, I'd be really keen to know. Thanks a million. Bye-bye. Slán go fóill.